The PewterCast is sponsored by HuntAKiller.com, an immersive murder mystery experience like no other. You can save 20% on your first box when you subscribe by using the code PewterCast at checkout. And we'd like to thank HuntAKiller.com for their support of the show. Welcome to the PewterCast. I am Brent Allen, your host, joined as always by my good friend Ren Daxt, here for Buck in the News, Week 14. Ren, how you doing over there, buddy?
How are my levels?
You sound great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm ready to go. Let's go then.
All right. I got it. I got you. Hey, listen, Ren, we're doing something a little bit different this week.
We are.
And I'm very excited about this.
Is this a permanent change?
If it works out, I mean, if it sucks, then no, we'll go back to the other way. It is. Yeah, especially for this
guy. A lot of pressure from the heavy breathing. You guys hear the heavy breathing? It's not Brent or I?
No. We have a guest. And by the way, the guest that we have, just a little fun note, was the very first guest that ever came on the PewterCast, like ever. And
no way.
Yeah, and so he is here to kind of help us kick off a new thing where basically here's the deal. It's Buck in the News. We're talking about everything that came out about the Buccaneers this week. And we're going to bring in our fellow Bucks podcasters. It's kind of the idea. Get it, you know, kind of talk to our friends, our peers, so to speak. So joining us this week from the Locked on Bucks podcast from BucksNation.com, James Yarko. James, welcome to the PewterCast.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing good, brother. Doing good, man. It's excited to get you back on the show, man.
I am excited to be back. Yeah, I remember the first time I was on, and then I remember the following week. This was back before Ren was your co-host.
Right.
And you had a guest lined up, and they canceled on you last second, so you had me jump back on the very next week. So yeah, it's been a little while, but I'm excited to be back.
And I'm pretty sure back then, like, you were calling in using your phone earbuds and walking around your basement or something during the whole conversation.
Yeah, pretty much
something like that. So, but man, look where we are now, 4 years, 5 years later, whatever it's been, and you guys, you and David over there at Locked On, you know, you guys are rocking and rolling. You know, God, you're going 5 days a week with what you guys have over there, plus everything else. So, man, glad to get you on. But this is our Buck in the News show. So, James, this is, I mean, you are, you know, kind of a full-fledged guest co-host. So chime in on anything as we're talking about it. For anyone out there who may be new to the Buck in the News show, this is where we get a chance to finally talk about everything that has happened concerning the Buccaneers over the course of this week. We get to take a look at the stories as a whole. We'll do that by first taking a look at any roster moves that the Buccaneers may have made this week. We'll also take a look at the headlines that have come out. James may or may not have written one or two. We'll see. We'll also take a look at the injury report, particularly as it relates to the game coming up this weekend. And then we'll do our little prediction here on the show, which is about the inactives, basically to see who's going to play by talking about who's not going to play. We're keeping track. Ren, I think on the inactives, I am 74 and you are at 73. We're pretty close.
Is that official?
Yes.
Because I'm not winning, so it doesn't sound official.
Well, in this one era, you have been wrong more than you have been right, my friend.
I've been wrong 75 other times.
Do what?
I've been wrong. If I've been wrong more than I've been right, then I've been wrong 74 times. If I have 73 correct.
Right. Yeah, I don't know the math on how that works.
Math hard.
Math's hard.
Yo, before we get
this, I literally pulled those numbers out of the air. So
oddly enough, like, the reason I am the co-host is because people kept canceling on you, and that's how I kept coming on.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like, you know, a little history lesson. Like, Brent asked me to be the co-host the following year, right after the first ever Pewty Awards.
Like, literally as we pressed stop on the record button, not like the week after.
Yeah, you know, yeah. It was right after stop on the record button. And the only reason I got to do the Pewty Awards, because somebody bailed on you.
That's right. Yeah.
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 Yeah. So, to wrap this all up, since James is here, not, you know, on our Tuesday show, which comes out Wednesday morning, he's on our Buck of the News show, which comes out Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Does he qualify for Guest of the Year?
I think he absolutely could. He's in the running. We'll just see if he gets nominated, because for anyone out there who might be wondering, what is this Pewty thing? We do an annual PewterCast award show. It's the only award show in Tampa Bay concerning the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where we get to celebrate the good things that happened in spite of the last couple of years not being so great. There's still some good things. James actually is a winner of last year's Pewty. What was it, James?
Second best podcast of the year.
Yeah, second best podcast of the year. That's right.
Hey, no, that is not what the plaque says, sir.
It is. James is award winning. But listen, that's not just you and I, Ren, coming up with like, hey, here's who we think should win. Like, no. We actually have a nominating committee. They put together. You and I actually make up a part of that.
$50. So yeah,
we cultivate all of that. In. They can grease our pockets to get in there, people. And
$50.
We'll put that out there, and then fans vote. And last year we had over 13,000 fans voting. Nominating committee is starting to come together for this year already. So all of this is coming around, and I don't know, James. Maybe you and David will be defending your title, and maybe you'll be going for guest of the year and double dipping this year.
Yeah, I would just be happy to be nominated.
There you go. Well, we'll see.
I was nominated for guest of the year way back when, and I believe that was the year that Princess Nikki won.
Yeah.
The
that
award.
Is true. And Ren is still hurt about that, because the very first episode that Ren was ever a guest on the PewterCast before he became the co-host, it was him and Nikki on the same show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't get mad, though. I love Princess Nikki. She and I bonded way, way back when I first started my Twitter account over our love of green chili in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
That's weird, but cool.
It is a little weird. But if you ever go to Albuquerque, no matter what restaurant you go to and what you order, they just straight up ask you red or green. And they mean, what kind of chili do you want piled on top of your food? And I vividly remember that was one of the first conversations she and I ever had. So I was excited that she won.
I keep trying to get out there, but I keep taking wrong turns and never seeing anything. Wow, that was a bad joke. All right, hey, listen.
Hey. I was trying to work it in myself.
I appreciate the Bugs Bunny reference.
Well, with that, guys, why don't we go ahead and get started? Yeah. Why don't we get started? We'll take a look and see what's going on. We always start with roster transactions. And for the second week in a row, there have been no roster moves. And that's fairly rare. In the time that we have done this show, I don't know that we've ever had back-to-back weeks where there's been no roster moves.
I'm not sure we've ever had weeks before BA got here where there was a week with no roster moves.
That might be true as well. That might be true as well.
So to fill time, what's the difference between red and green chili?
One's made with
beef and beans.
Well, it's not like chili like the soup. It's chili like a sauce made with peppers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So red peppers.
Yeah. It's chili with an E, not chili with an I. Oh. And it's definitely not Skyline chili. We won't even get into that.
Chile. Skyline. Yes. Wait, what's the other one?
Gold Star.
Yeah, that one. That's horrible. Skyline's
better.
Yeah.
But don't tell that to Scott Smith, because he'll make fun of you endlessly.
All right. Well, hey, listen, transactions. Time filled. Even though there are no transactions, I do want to put this little asterisk out there. TJ Logan broke his thumb in practice today, and he's done for the season, according to BA. So the question isn't if we will have a move. The question is just, are we going to have a move before Sunday's game? Which I doubt it, because he's actually one of our inactives for the week. So we'll see what happens. We'll look to see. What do you guys think? Are they just going to bring up what do you think they'll do? To bring somebody up from the roster, from the practice squad? Are we going to run with what we've got as far as the return game now? What do you think,
James?
I think they'll definitely make a move by bringing somebody up from the practice squad. My question is, they may, like you said, they may go with what they have in the return game, which I mean, the return game hasn't been anything to write home about anyway. But with as depleted as the secondary has been, it makes me wonder if they call up another member that way. You know, they did call up Mazzy Wilkins. I was disappointed to not really see him get much playing time against the Jags, but I don't think they're going to bring somebody up to specifically replace Logan in the return game. I think they'll just look to fill somewhere where the depth is depleted.
Yeah, and good news, everybody. Apparently Justin Watson's going to be able to get to touch the ball this week.
There you go, because that is the first headline that I have for us today. Filling in for TJ Logan, Justin Watson will be taking over punt return duties, although Sean Murphy Bunting was also mentioned in that role, but Justin is the guy who's been given the nod. And Dare Ogunbowale is going to be taking over for kick return, which he did for a couple of games last year as well. I have no idea how to feel about this. I mean, it's like I don't think we've ever even seen Justin like practice this, much less actually do this in live game.
He was back there in training camp.
Was okay.
You know, if Scotty Miller hammy was healed, it'd be his job, but it's not. And you know, I'm kind of excited to see what he can do. He's a little bit of a bigger guy. We've figured out as Buck fans that Scotty Miller, when he had his chance in the preseason, he was calling fair catches with 15, you know, guys 15 yards away from him.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know if that's what he was told to do or that was his decision. But as, you know, sort of these games have gone on, we've come to find out that Scotty Miller doesn't like to sort of stick his nose in there. Mm-hmm. So I think I would rather have somebody, a bigger body guy, like someone like Justin Watson. And he's not quite as fast as Scotty Miller. But here's a question for you, James. Do you think the two fastest people in the wide receiver room are both or are Miller and Watson?
Oof. I mean, Miller's definitely the hands down fastest guy. I don't know, because I always kind of go back to how deceptively fast Mike Evans is. He's a guy that always looks like he's running in quicksand, but he just blows past people.
Right.
But I think Godwin's even faster than Evans is. I don't know. I'd be interested to see the 40 numbers from the combine, but then again, you throw on pads and a helmet and you're not going to be quite as fast. But I don't know who the second fastest would be. That's a good question.
Yeah. I mean, I think Perryman kind of gums it up, because Jay Watt ran, you know, you have to do some digging. You're not going to find an NFLnetwork.com because he wasn't a combine invite.
Right.
Jay Watt was like low 4.4s, and I think he actually ran like a 4.38 was one of his 3.40 times. But the one they kept was like a 4.42. But Perryman kind of gums that whole thing up. I don't know. I'm just spitballing. Just,
you know, the only thing that I really remember about this is when they brought TJ Logan in. Ren, I know you and I, James, I don't know how you and David felt about it, but Ren and I were like, why are we eating up a roster spot with a guy who's just going to be a return guy?
Yeah, especially when he really didn't do much to begin with. I mean, he's, nothing against TJ Logan, but they're not doing anything in the return game. The last time we got excited about anything in the return game was a punt return for a touchdown by DeSean Jackson on Monday night that got called back for a phantom holding call.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, it was a punt return for a touchdown in preseason. Like, the return game in the NFL has become so obsolete that I don't care who the Bucs march out there. Don't return the kickoff unless you absolutely have to. Mm-hmm. And fair catch the punt unless for some reason you have a 15-yard radius around you that you can gain a couple yards. Other than that, they've tried to remove everything special from special teams that they possibly can. So mm-hmm. it really just – I just kind of shake my head and I'm like, okay.
Right.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, that's a really good point. It's something we haven't talked about on the show is, you know, no one returns kickoffs anymore, and no one should, especially if they, you know, they give it out to the 25. I know the Patriots are fond of kicking it short and trying to pinning the other team in, you know, inside the 20 as their gig. But I mean, you know, Brett and I used to sit here when we were coming down to the trade deadline and all that sort of stuff, and the Bucks were losing and we're, you know, trying to look for a spark anywhere. We're like, what does TJ Logan do? Because we still had, mm-hmm. at the time, we still had Bobo Wilson return at punt.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all Logan did was just wave his arms in the end zone about three times a game. You know, that's all he did.
And that's not a joke. That's not an exaggeration. That's
not
he did. Yeah.
So, but then when they cut Bobo and Logan started returning punts, I was like, okay, I'm happy he's here. And we haven't really had that conversation since. So again, it'll be nice to see Jay Watt, but you're right, man. Like, besides moving the kickoff back, they've done everything they can to take all the excitement out of special teams. And if there is a punt return and if it goes more than 12 yards, there's a penalty anyway.
Right? Yeah.
You know, it's not fun to watch. I think they're moving, slowly to try to take away kickoffs altogether. You know, we'll see how this XFL works out.
Little AAF style. Oh, did they take that out in the XFL too?
Yeah, there's mm-hmm. there's no. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Was it the Arena League?
Yeah, no, not the Arena League. AAF. The AAF. Apollos.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, okay. Well, I probably got those mixed up. But yeah, I'm not really sure what they do with the punt game, because, you know, the punters have gotten so good about, you know, distance and height and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, and all the special teams coaches would rather give up 5 yards than give the, you know, the punt returner a 10-yard cushion to possibly turn it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we're going to hang it up higher and kick it a little shorter so he has a fair catch, and we'll give up that 5 yards to take away, you know, any type of return at all. So mm-hmm. I'm with you. Boy.
Or if they're foolish enough to try to return it, that's when you're going to be able to have somebody like Ryan Smith that gets a helmet on the ball and forces a fumble and creates a major momentum swing in a turnover.
But it won't be called.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. They'll return it for a touchdown, but but, you know, the refs will say he was down or whatever.
It was not a clear recovery. He's standing in the end zone with the ball.
His hand.
All right. Blew my whistle, and then I looked away. Yeah. I don't know what happened.
Yeah. So,
how different this weekend's game could be if just a couple of calls had gone a different way.
It's 100% true. 100% true. Or a kick or two went left instead of right or didn't hit the goalpost. You know, so anyway, so that's it. Justin Watson, so he's our new guy standing in the end zone waving his arms, and we'll see. Actually, he's doing the punt return. He'll anyway, you guys know what I mean. Justin Watson will be out there. He'll wave the single arm. There you go. All right, moving on. This week is My Cleats, My Cause. My Cleats, My Cause. Draw, turn saying that 10 times fast. And I read from Buccaneers Communications, over 30 different causes will be represented this week through that. Did you guys get to see any of the cleats? And if so, James, I'll toss this one to you first. Did you have a particular favorite one that you liked?
I've only seen a couple of them. I did write up for Bucs Nation, all the players participating and all of the causes that they're representing. But I don't need to see all the players' cleats because there's one obvious winner of best cleats this weekend, and it's Devin White. Did you guys see his cleats for this?
Yeah,
I did.
It's got the, for anyone who didn't, it's got a picture of his horse, his deceased horse, Daisy May, on it, and it's for
animal hydration awareness.
Yeah, there you go. Which is what Daisy May died of, which just got sucks. So yeah, talk about pulling the heartstrings, man.
Yeah, and with as well as Devin White is playing or has played recently, mm-hmm. now he's playing for his baby,
right.
for his, you know, as he right. called it, his kid, mm-hmm. Against a team named after horses, all kinds of stuff lining up for that one. Devin White is going to have seven touchdowns this weekend.
Well,
I think I'll bet that.
I would not say, yeah, I'll take the under on that one.
I'm glad James went first because I have a totally different take on this.
Go ahead.
Okay.
And I understand I'm being a Scrooge, but it was the same thing back. Remember back when the NFL was heavily involved with Breast Cancer Awareness Month in October?
Yeah.
And it was just pink everything.
Like a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, but now they've changed it. They've changed it to, what did they change? Like All In or something? And it's more of a rainbow.
It's the Crucial Catch thing, right?
What?
Isn't it the crucial catch? Wasn't that their theme this year? Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, and it was more of a rainbow, but like no one wore like the pink gloves, the pink towels, the pink cleats, the mm-hmm. pink, and, you know, and every, you'd hear it four times a game for a whole month about, you know, breast cancer awareness. And finally I go, you know, is there anybody in the world that doesn't know breast cancer exists?
Right.
Like what are we doing here? And I heard about, I remember the, you know, beginning of the week, oh, it's my cleats week. And I'm like, Now, I know I'm being a screech. I think they're great causes, and I'm glad that these guys are getting the word out. And I understand to get the word out, you've got to take pictures of it and put it on Twitter, but I really don't care. I don't care what kind of cleats they're wearing. I mean, I'll brush over it. You know, I read the list that the Buccaneers Communications put out. I read the list of all the causes, you know. Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting that Tanner Hudson was the only guy who went with another teammate's.
That's right. He went with Mike Evans.
Went with Mike Evans. Yeah. And then I think there's Allie went with Spytex. John Spytex had a child pass.
Oh, with his daughter,
There's some kind of virus that the mother carries. Mm-hmm. And it's very rare, but I know a couple of players are joining the Spytex there. I thought it was cool that Casey's going to wear some sneakers, that J-Watt is some kind of like some kids' playground villa place for special needs kids. I think that's cool. But you know, all the other ones, I'm just, I don't want to hear about it all week. I just don't. I don't, it's just, but I am with James. I, you know, when I saw the, which I didn't think was a thing, like animal hydration awareness, I mean.
Right.
Like, I just feel like he just made it up. But
no, he started it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I think it, you know, if the stars are going to align for an extra special game for Devin White, because when he was unboxing him, I saw a video of it. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm going to run so fast in these. And I'm already fast.
Right.
So, yeah, maybe we'll get a little one of those, you know, Twitter top five speed guys because the chips are in their shoulder pads, and Devin White will make the top five this week.
There you go. I like it. I like it. And, yeah, definitely, I think Devin White certainly gets the heartstring tug award of the week. So
we will call it the Toy Story Award.
Ooh, good pull. All right, so that's going on this week, so keep an eye out for those if you are interested, or if you want to be like Mr. Scrooge over here and bah humbug it, you could do that. All right.
Well, I think what's playing in Ren's favor in this is that there's so many different causes that they can't beat you over the head with it, mm-hmm. with one particular cause. You know, they'll probably bring up, you know, the phrase, my cause, my cleats, but it's not going to be constantly this same foundation over and over and over. So you might not get as burnt out this week, Ren, as you did during the entire month of October in years past.
This is true.
Ren's not going to be going, okay, I'm aware.
The over under on close-ups of any player's cleats during the 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock Sunday night, Monday night game, I'm putting at 300.
I'll take the under.
I'm putting it at 200.
I'll take a push.
All right, well, let's move on, guys. Speaking of Devin White, actually, James, I'm really glad you brought him up. Devin White in the news this week. He wins the NFC Defensive Rookie of the Month, and I would say well-earned. He was better than all other defensive rookies during the month of November. I don't know if that's actually true. I don't watch all the defensive rookies, but I'm going to say that he was because he won the award.
Yes.
The end.
The end. Yeah. Sorry, I'm sorry, Ren wants me asking questions. How do you guys feel about Devin White winning the award?
I think it was well deserved.
Yeah.
And he's making, you know, something David and I talked about on Locked On Bucks. He's making a great push to be Defensive Rookie of the Year. And my concern, my expression when somebody called in and asked us what we thought he had to do to earn that, mm-hmm. was I had said that he can continue to play to the level that he's playing right now. He can exceed the level that he's playing right now for the final month of the season, mm-hmm. and he still won't win. Right. And it's strictly because they're not going to look at a guy who missed time during the season and is playing for a team that can't win. Mm-hmm. And I understand, you know, the Bucks are on a two-game win streak. They're still in the playoff hunt. They need a lot of things to fall their way. And maybe if the stars align and they do get in the postseason, he may get some consideration. But when you have somebody on a low-profile team that is not winning games, that is not featured in the game of the week, mm-hmm. he's not going to get the consideration that somebody like Bosa is, where his team is the number one seed in the NFC right now. And he is a monster this year. So is Devin White having an overall better season than Bosa? I don't know. Maybe. But he's not going to surpass the name and brand recognition of a guy who was the top pick, who comes out of a prestigious program. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit in Ohio State and is playing for the number one team in a conference.
Well, Devin White has such a great game in these Daisy May cleats. He's going to take his other cleats that he, you know, has to wear or approved by the NFL and paint on the bottom of them Daisy May for the last three games. As the Bucks win these last four games by blowout, and he will beat Joey Bosa because Joey Bosa has, like, what, seven other first-round draft picks playing with him, and that's going to be the deciding factor.
I hope you're right.
I'm not right, but that's,
anything to
that,
keep
that's the path.
Listen,
anything to keep former Buckeyes out of the limelight as much as possible is really the goal here.
Listen, I can't say where he's going to wind up as far as any kind of awards, you know, for the overall league as a whole at the end of the year, but I'm going to say this. Devin White's got a damn good shot at winning the PewDie for Rookie of the Year this year.
Yes.
Just throwing that out there. Damn good shot. I'm not, listen, the fans vote, not me. Fans vote. So it'll be up to them, but I'm just saying. All right, hey, listen, let's stick on the defense. This is crazy to me that we're talking about how good the defense has been, because
right?
The defense has been the problem in this town for so long that it's not even funny. I want to run through just a couple of numbers that Bucks.com put out earlier today. The Buccaneers are fifth in the league in getting takeaways. Sue is tied for second in fumble recoveries at four. Shaq Barrett is leading the league in forced fumbles. We have eight different players with interceptions, which is tied for second in the league. Cool numbers for a defense that has been giving up the most amount of points historically this year and last year, And in maybe not quite previous years, but really close. But we all know, like, the last couple of games, basically when Jamel Dean has been playing, for whatever you want to track that with, the Buccaneers have been doing pretty good as far as defense goes.
Well, you see what happens when they get that Ohio State Buckeye, Vernon Hargreaves, off the team.
Wasn't he a Florida Gator?
He was.
Okay.
I'm just trying to make you feel welcome.
I'm trying to.
I was a little confused.
James,
there.
You and I both were. I'm like, I'm not sure what he's going with this one. What's going on here? So anyway,
James, we've talked about this. Brett and I've talked about this. Like, sure. Somehow Mark Cook babbled on for it for about 20 minutes about Vernon accidentally, when we had him on, you know, before he dropped that great nugget on us. Where do you fall? Where do you and David fall? Where does Locked On Bucks fall? Is it just pure coincidence that they jettison Hargreaves and now the secondary is starting to gel and making plays, and oh, lo and behold, like, there's, you know, over somewhere between like 9 and 15 pass breakups a game now? Like it can't be just Vernon, can it?
No, I don't think it's all because Vernon left, and I don't want to speak for David. I'll speak for myself and half of Locked On Bucks. But I think it makes a big difference when you have players out there that want to be out there playing. And that was the problem that we were seeing and we were being told, whatever you want to, if you want to take that with a grain of salt, you know, be my guest, you know, that Hargreaves wasn't putting in the work. He wasn't hustling. He wasn't showing up and doing his job. Jamel Dean wants to show up and do his job. Carlton Davis wants to show up and do his job. So does Sean Murphy Bunting and Mike Edwards. And you have such a young group back in that secondary, all first and second year players, and these are the guys that were coming in together. They were working together, you know, all through rookie minicamp, all through training camp, all through preseason. You know, this was the core. And so when you get all those guys out there that have been working together since the moment they were drafted, you start to understand why communication is so key. And they have that trust in one another because they've done so much work together. So you're seeing that translate to production on the field. You're seeing the penalties against the penalties against Davis start to cut back a little bit, which we all know was a huge problem at the beginning of the year.
Sure.
And you're seeing somebody who's hungry to prove their worth in Dean. You know, he goes out there. He has a horrendous game against Seattle. He bounces back the very next week against Arizona, and then he's relegated to the bench. He doesn't want to go back there again. So he's out there busting his ass every single play to make sure, you know, he can look at Todd Bowles and he can look at Bruce Arians and say, you guys can't put me there because I belong out on the field. And he absolutely does. So, no,
and
I'm not going to attribute
James,
it all
James,
to.
He winds up with his first career interception, which, you know, a year and change into his year into his career as a starting cornerback in the league. That's a bit far to get your first interception, you know, but all of, yeah, whatever these changes are, you know, just to further your point there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I'm not going to blame Hargreaves for that entirely, but I think when you have a group that's out there that trusts one another and understand one another, the Bucs are reaping the benefits of that right now.
Who's the best corner the Bucs have right now? No, rank the top four.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I'll still leave Davis at number one.
Okay.
I'll put Dean at two. Sean Murphy Bunting would be three, and then
doesn't matter.
Mike Evans has an interception in a Pro Bowl. I'll put him at four.
There you go.
Now, Mike Edwards did a great job.
I was wondering if you were going to pull Mike Edwards down as a cornerback.
Yeah, well, he did such a good job.
Playing nickel.
Yeah, he did. He played the position. It may not be what his roster position is, but he did play the position. And they went with him over Ryan Smith until they had to go with Ryan Smith. So
what I think is so much fun is that it's really hard to rank those three right now. You know,
yes.
And I know they're young, and I know they haven't proven anything, and they don't have a resume at all. But you can make an argument that each one can be CB1. Now, obviously, with Davis, he has experience, and we've seen him be sort of the biggest glue guy. I've said many times on this pod, beginning of the year, I thought the NFL refs had it out for him. Yes, he was a little bit grabby, but not not as many penalties as he was getting. And it seems like they've let up on him a little bit, or maybe he's figured out how to not get caught as much. And then you have Dean, which you put second. I mean, you know, he's out there. All he does is make plays. You know, besides that Seattle game, you throw at him, he's going to knock the ball down. It feels like it's a 50-50 shot. But the interesting thing with SMB is that no one's throwing at it. Mm-hmm. And that might be the best, you know, that might be the best argument for him for being the number one corner.
Yeah.
To play devil's advocate, I'll throw this out there. Are they not throwing at him because he's the best corner, or are they not throwing at him because they don't believe the opposing offenses? I mean, they don't believe that Davis and Dean are playing as well as they are, and don't believe that those guys can eliminate their top receiving targets, because SMB is not going to be following around the number one guy for an opposing team. And as bad as this Bucks pass defense has been overall this season, not these past couple weeks, obviously, you know, teams are still going to target their top guy, which kind of leaves Murphy Bunting out there not having to take the brunt of the focus of whoever the opposing quarterback is.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, other teams like their one versus our one more than they like our two or three against their two.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Interesting. Something to watch. Four games to go.
Yes, sir.
Undefeated. Jameis Winston gets a contract extension. Yeah. Shaq Barrett gives us a $10 million discount. Oh. And Devin White wins Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Well, hey, I tell you what. Speaking of Shaq Barrett, earlier this week, Ren, you and I had a little show. We had Mark Cook on, and he gave us a little nugget about Shaq Barrett, saying Shaq Barrett had told him on What's Cooking a couple weeks ago that he wanted to stay in Tampa. But then off camera, he had even mentioned, hey, I'd even give him a little hometown discount so that I could stay here. That show came out on Wednesday, and we were very excited. I mean, from the intro, we were so excited to show that, and people were tweeting back at us, created a meme just for you over that, Ren. But I guess that afternoon, James, you were kind of telling me, I think before the show, it was that later that afternoon, the media members caught up with Shaq Barrett at his locker and started asking him all kinds of questions. Now, granted, this is the time of year where they do start asking those questions, but still, I'm just saying it happened to be on that same day. And Shaq Barrett basically confirmed everything that we had said as far as, yes, he wanted to be back in. And he gave, like, he didn't just be like, yeah, I like it here and I'd like to stay, because, you know, people could just say that. He went on and on and on about why he wants to stay and why he doesn't want to leave and how he'd like to just be around here, which to me seems to confirm, you know, yes, he's going to get his money. He really wants his money, but, you know, there's value in him sticking around here as well.
Yeah, and before you answer, James, or give some feedback, Mark Cook also said, and it was almost a throwaway line, that Shaq Barrett's the top priority for the Buccaneers, and it's like 100% he's going to be back. Like, you know, like, he knows that. He's been told that by the Bucs front office, is what he implied. So the real question to you, James, is, do you think that the Buccaneers as an organization heard that pod and then made Shaq Barrett be available at his locker during that open locker room? Because we haven't heard a lot from Shaq Barrett this year in open locker room sessions.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I thought so.
Correct answer.
Okay. End of show. Thank you very much, James, for coming on.
Thank you for confirming the impact that we have here at the PewterCast.
Absolutely. That's really exciting news, right?
Oh, for sure. And it's something that David and I have talked about a lot on our show, and you know, you guys talk about, anybody that has a Buccaneers podcast is talking about how vital it is to get Shaq Barrett to come back. And I think, you know, one of the biggest things for Shaq as far as negotiations are concerned is, this is the team, this is the coaching staff, this is the franchise that gave him his opportunity. When we talked to him on the podcast, he had said that he knew halfway through the 2017 season that his time in Denver was done. So he had a year and a half where he knew he wasn't going to be playing there anymore. Mm-hmm. He couldn't break through, and he wanted the opportunity to prove what he can do, and the Bucks gave him that. And holy crap, aren't we all glad that they did?
Absolutely.
Because he is showing out. So I think that plays into his decision a lot. And Brent, goes back to what you guys talked about on your show about how he would be willing to give them a discount. Well, mm-hmm. you know, you take care of me, I'll take care of you, kind of opportunity here for both sides. Mm-hmm. And it's going to pay dividends. My big question is, you have to pay Shaq all this money. You have to pay Chris Godwin all this money. Mm-hmm. You may be paying Jameis Winston and all this money. Mm-hmm. Is this the last we're going to see of Jason Pierre-Paul in a Bucks uniform, or is he going to be willing to maybe take a little bit less than he might get on the open market to stay with Shaq, to stay with Nassib, to stay with Vea, mm-hmm. and continue to build on what they've done the second half of this season?
Yeah, no, I think that's the important question. It's not just JPP, but I'm going to go ahead and throw in Carl Nassib in there, and I am going to go ahead and throw in Sue. Although if there's one that we could lose and probably be okay, especially filling in through the draft, it's probably going to be Sue's position. But there's something about that unit as a whole mm-hmm. that I think the front office needs to and wants to keep together. And Scott Reynolds, actually, this was like almost the entirety of his Fab Five this week, was how could that possibly happen? How do you keep these guys together? I mean, even Bo Allen, who, if you remember, he took a pay cut, or he flipped something to where he got like guaranteed money, and then like the condition was, but I'm done this year.
Yeah.
And even he's kind of like it sounds like he's wanting to come back now, you know? JPP, kind of a similar situation. They reworked his contract, cut off his final year so that he could be a free agent this year, and he has intimated that he would like to return and stick around Tampa. So, you know, it's a lot of moving parts. And when we talk about the hometown discount, you know, I always feel like, you know, I have to almost remind myself this, like, these guys are going to get paid. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, one way or the other, they're going to get paid. But if the team comes to them and says, hey, we would like to keep all of you together as a unit, in order to do that, here's how we have to shuffle things around. It feels like it's not just every man for themselves, go make as much money as you possibly can and sell yourself out to the highest bidder. You know, it feels like they could potentially somehow work together. They're not going to take a huge discount. You know, they're not going to, you know, leave millions and millions and millions on the table. They might leave one or two, though, you know. So we'll see. We'll see how they do that. And you mentioned Chris Godwin having to be in there as well. Jameis, Mike, all those guys. Yeah.
So your plan is to take all of the defensive linemen free agents out to dinner, mm-hmm. feed them some wine, some drink, mm-hmm. get them super full,
right,
and then give them all their contracts at once.
Together, yeah. It's like the cast of Friends. We're going to sign them together as one big unit. You know, that's exactly what I think we're going to do.
And then anybody who wavers, they just shame and boo right in the middle of the restaurant.
Right.
Whoever wavers has to pick up the tab.
There you go. There you go.
There you go.
Nice. All right. We figured it out. Great.
There you go. All right.
We are changing lives, gentlemen. Changing lives. There you go.
But James is right. Now that we kind of know what we know, and it's mm-hmm. It's pretty much been, you know, I don't want to say etched in stone, but pretty much been etched in stone about Barrett coming back. Like, he wants to come back. He'll give us a little bit of a break. The Bucks have told the media that he's uno numero uno, mm-hmm. a number one. So now we're moving our sights down the line. And I think Brent and I agree with you, said James, like, JPP is the next guy.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the most interesting thing with the JPP thing, at least for me, is he going to sign wherever he signs more or less than the $13 million that we already had him for next year? That's going to be sort of the interesting thing to see, mm-hmm. because if he ends up signing for more and it remains a Buck, Jason Light and Greenberg are going to get some crap on Twitter. And if he ends up signing for less and not a Buck, they're going to get some crap on Twitter. Like, he has to sign with the Bucks for less for them not to get crap.
Well, go ahead, Jen.
I was just going to say, Light and Greenberg could convince JPP to sign for the veteran minimum, and they would still get crap on Twitter.
But see, here's the thing, and I mean, Scott Reynolds actually kind of laid out how that could possibly happen, and I don't know how feasible it seems to me that a player like JPP is going to take this, but his thought was they would basically sign him for a really low amount of guaranteed money, but build in a crap ton of incentives throughout the season that could put and so would you be okay with it, Ren, since you brought it up, of sure. His guaranteed money is really small, but if he hits all of his incentives, he could hit actually more than the $13 million. But it's not all guaranteed.
Would I be okay with it?
Well, but I mean,
would I be okay with it? Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Yeah, they could pay him whatever he wants. Here's the problem. That's
my check, Mike. I don't care.
I don't care what you pay him. Just make sure he's a Buck. that was probably my least favorite part of sort of Scott's fleshing out what needs to be done. I thought that was a lot of ifs and buts and wishes and all that kind of stuff.
Candy
like,
and
okay.
Nuts. Yeah.
Like, yeah, this is how you sign JPP. You give him $5 million guaranteed and then give him an accelerated contract up to $15 million. Mm-hmm. Well, what are two things going to happen? The Bucks are going to have to keep that money available for him possibly hitting those, which might be late season cuts or, you know, Mike or Allie or possibly Jamie if they sign him to a long-term, rearranging those things, maybe Jensen, somebody with guaranteed money to open up more cap space, or they're going to start messing with him like what New Orleans did with Mark Ingram a couple years ago, where he'd run the ball down to the five-yard line, they yank him out of the game, they give it to Kamara, and he'd score, you know, and it, like there was an incentive in Ingram's deal where if like he had like eight or more rushing touchdowns, you know, he hit like a $2 million bonus. And he was, you know, about halfway through the season, he was starting to get really pissed because, you know, and I don't want that to happen. Now, that's all just conjecture because I don't think JPP, he's an elite player.
Right.
Yeah, he's old. Yeah, he's missing fingers. Yeah, his next, you know, like Peyton Manning's got steel plates in it, whatever.
Right.
But he's still doing it and he doesn't seem to be slowing down. Like he got better last year after he was a Giant. Like he had a couple years as a Giant where he didn't hit 10 sacks, you know, blew up his hand, had a bad year, had like a 9.5 year, and then came here and got 12.5. Now he's averaging almost a sack a game, coming back from a broken neck. Like, and he's playing a lot of defensive tackle. Like, I don't know why somebody of that caliber would be like, oh yeah, I'll take $5 million.
Exactly.
And I just don't think that's really feasible. But again, I think the next person to look to when we talk about the defensive line is definitely Jake.
Yeah, and something that we learned when all the Gerald McCoy stuff was going down, and we were talking about the incentive laden contracts, is if it's a reasonably attainable incentive, it will count against the cap. It's those those wild incentives that won't count. You know, Jameis Winston can sign a contract where he gets a $5 million bonus if he's the Super Bowl MVP. That's not going to count against the cap.
Right.
But if they put an incentive saying, all right, well, Jameis's guaranteed money this year is only $15 million, but if he hits 10 passing touchdowns, he gets an extra 8.5. Well, obviously, he's going to hit that. So they count that against the cap. So messing with incentive-laden contracts really, at the end of the day, isn't helping your salary cap situation any more than just giving him the guaranteed money, because chances are he's going to hit those. And if they're so unobtainable, then he's not going to sign the contract to begin with. So yeah, that's a slippery slope to go down.
Right. And I, do you guys get the same feeling about JPP? Like JPP might like to stay in Tampa, but if he get, you know, if there's a big difference on the table between Tampa and another team, he'll probably go with the other team. Like Shaq Barrett, I kind of feel like the value to not move again and to stick around might be a little more for him. Whereas with JPP, like he would like to stay, but you know, if there's a pretty good difference, he might move on as well. Like he'll make the business decision. Do you guys get that feeling about him, or is it just me?
I think so, but I think it would have to be pretty significant. I don't think he's going to leave for a difference of $2 million, $2.5 million. Because this is his home. This is where his kid is. And when he came here, he kept talking about how excited he was to be so close to his family all the time. And at this stage in his career, I think that's valuable. This guy has had two life-changing, terrifying accidents and may realize that, you know what, he has more money than the three of us could ever figure out how to spend. And I see you looking like I saw that, Brent. You're like, oh, I could imagine some pretty inventive ways to spend some money. I probably could too.
She's rich.
But I think he values his location and his availability to be with his family.
Yeah.
So I do think you're right. I do think if it comes down to that kind of decision, he'll make the best business decision. But I think it would have to be a little more significant than most people would assume.
That's fair.
Yeah, I think James is right. You know, when you talk about JVP, the first thing that comes to your mind about him staying is this is where he's from. You know, his house is down south. He went to, you know, college in Tampa, USF, obviously. But there's one thing that I'm seeing that I think sort of might even trump that. I think that now that he's been here a year and certain players have moved on, and Mark Cook talked about it, he is the unquestioned leader of that locker room now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He didn't have that in New York. When he came here, the New York media told us that he's not a leader. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a guy that didn't talk it. But I think he really likes it. You know, this is something new from him. He's liking it. His group's, like, really starting to come together. Maybe he got Vernon kicked out. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got a little bit of power in that locker room, and I think he digs it, and I mm-hmm. think that's will be a factor, and a bigger factor than some people might think of him staying in Tampa.
All right, well, there we go. Hey, just to tag on to what you're saying there, Ren, about JPP and him in the room, Scott Reynolds on page 4 of his Fab Five this week, I personally found a very interesting read. It has to deal with some players who are no longer around the Buccaneers, and we try not to talk about people who aren't with the team anymore very much, so I don't want to detail it out too much, but I do want to point people towards that. I found it as far as like recent Buccaneer history, kind of word from inside the locker room of what's going on, particularly as it relates to VH3, Brent Grimes, actually, JPP when he came in last year, some of those things. So interesting read for people to do out there. But guys, we've got one more headline I want us to touch on before we move on to the injury report. And this is kind of the big one. James, you may or may not have a thought or two about this. BA answers a question in a press conference earlier this week. Would you commit right now to bringing Jameis back if the Glazers asked you right now, he's your guy for next year? And BA punted the question. He said, I'm going to pass on it because we're going to wait till the end of the year. Now, people took that and lost their ever-loving minds. National media people said, oh, he's leaving Jameis. He's passing on Jameis. And no, that's not what he said. That's not what he said. He said he's passing on the question, not on Jameis. But anyway, James, I'll just kind of give you the floor for whatever you might want to say about this particular situation.
It's a lot to do about nothing. At the end of the day, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And I realize that Bruce Arians has talked about wanting to work with players in the past, mm-hmm. and that not come to fruition. This is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. We have seen, it's amazing. Think of all the ups and downs we've seen mm-hmm. out of Jameis Winston. This year alone, we have seen the absolute worst and the absolute best. And I don't blame Bruce Arians one bit for saying, I want to get through the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. They do still have a chance at the playoffs, and they have to win these games. Mm-hmm. This is the ultimate and the perfect test for Jameis Winston and his future. Because if they can get through these games and do what they are supposed to do, you know, that's all you can ask of them. They can't rely on the Vikings to lose out, which is basically what needs to happen. All they can do is win their games. Mm-hmm. And Jameis going down the stretch and winning out the last 6 games of this season is going to get him a contract. But if you try to answer the question, even without answering, he became a top story. But if you try to answer that question, any mistake that Jameis makes the rest of the season will be scrutinized, and that question will be brought back up every single time he's available to the media. And to me, people lost their ever-loving minds over this because, and let me know what you think of this theory, things have been going too well the last 2 weeks, and Buccaneers fans don't know how to handle this. So they have to find something to get angry about, and this just happened to get caught in their crosshairs.
Well, it's not the stupidest thing I've ever heard, that's for sure. There's a lot of that. We know that as Bucs fans, and it's hard to blame fans, especially like the, you know, the more casual fan. And the more casual fan than us three is pretty much like 98% of Bucs fandom. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something I always try to remind myself doing this, is like, I follow the team closely, like more closely than I actually should. It's probably unhealthy. You know, it's bordering on obsession. I could be on a daytime talk show host, you know, talk show talking about, you know, my girlfriend could be, all he does is listen to Bucks podcasts and talk. And here it is, 11:30 at night, and he's in the other room yelling and screaming, I can't handle it anymore. And I get booed by the whole audience. Boo, boo. So I get that. You know, thank God, you know, that's not happening. But, you know, I just don't, I don't care. Like, it's a lot. Like James said, it's a much to do about nothing. It's just because it's Jameis, and it's just because it's the quarterback. And it's, you know, it's, he was in a no win situation. He could not have answered the question. The way he answered the question, there's been really, really good. There's been some really, really bad. Name me another player on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that hasn't put really, really good tape and really, really bad tape out there.
Lavonte David.
And Lavonte David. God with Lavonte David. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, poor Lavonte David, would he have like his eighth or seventh penalty of his whole entire career Sunday?
Wasn't it his first one since 2016 or 2017?
But the funny thing is, everybody knows one penalty Lavonte David had. Everyone knows it.
Pushing Geno Smith out of bounds?
Yes. Everyone knows it. They hold that against him forever. And he hasn't had 10 penalties total in his whole career. But every time Lavonte David comes up and I start to think about him, I'm like, oh, yeah, remember that time when he pushed Geno Smith out of bounds and they get him 15 yards, they kick the field goal to win? Like, that always runs through my head. So that's totally unfair. So, right. So it's Lavonte David and Chris Godwin. Everyone else has been really, really good and really, really bad. Like, and, you know, we blew it. Everyone blew it out of proportion. And if you don't like it, we're talking about it. I don't care. If you like it because we're talking about it, I don't care. You know, anybody who talked about it, besides people who have to, which, by the way, is us, and I know it's very convenient, you blew it out of proportion. Mm-hmm. You know, Ronald Jones should be the happiest Buccaneer because he was going to be talked about all week. Mm-hmm. And back, is he a bust? Is he not? Yeah, he's improved from last year, but look at his numbers, are really not that great. I mean, look, he's like 44th among all running backs. You know, oh yeah, but they don't give him the ball enough. Well, it's because of the defense. That was going to take over Twitter this week. So Ronald Jones needs to go give BA a big old hug and just say thank you, because, or whoever asked that question, there was no right answer to it. And, you know, the national pundits, when it comes to Bucks, we know the people are in it deep know that they just don't know what they're talking about, and it's unfortunate, and it's okay. No one cares about us. I get it. It's a slippery slope. I want you to talk about us because I want my team to be talked about, but when you talk about us, you're dumb, so don't talk about us. It's a whole mess. It's a whole mess being in a small, you know, small market team that's not any good. But God bless us. Love them.
Yeah, I'm with you. The only issue that I had was when people turned this into something, not just blowing it out of proportion, but actually turning it into what it wasn't, you know, when they actually turned it into Jameis or BA is not sticking with Jameis, because that's not what it was. And that's the issue that I really had with that. So, all right, guys, well, that's really going to do it for the headlines. Let's take a look at our injury report as we start to look at this Colts game this weekend. Looking at over at the Colts injury report real quick, they have three guys that are out. Two names really of note, T.Y. Hilton and Adam Vinatieri, are both out for this game, which Vinatieri, give or take, but T.Y. Hilton especially, though, that's good news for the Buccaneers.
Don't sleep on Kenny Moore, who's also listed as out. Uh-huh. He might be one of the most underrated slot corners in the game, which is going to be super beneficial for the Bucs, especially when they keep moving Godwin into the slot. Mm-hmm. Like that could have a huge impact.
You think that is that when you're talking about Godwin, what my head starts saying is more touchdowns.
Yes.
Okay. I like it. So those guys are there. They will have Marlon Mack and I mean, Quentin Nelson, who is not on the injury report at all. He's just going to be playing.
Yeah. And another thing this Jameis thing robbed us of, the Quentin Nelson via Vea talk all week.
Hey, oh, we talked about it.
Yeah, but you talked about it all week?
Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Mm. Okay. robbed Twitter of it. That's what it did.
There you go. That matchup between Vita Vea and Quentin Nelson is going to be something to watch. I hope that we see them lined up over each other more often than not, you know? So, you know, who knows what will happen. But, all right, let's turn our attention to the Buccaneers. We have four people who are out. Alex Kappa, who injured his elbow. And if I understand it right, if you guys remember, he broke his arm earlier this year, was out for several games. Mm-hmm. This is the other arm that he injured an elbow in the game last week. So, Alex Kappa is out. TJ Logan, we already talked about him. And I saw a tweet from Greg Allman not too long ago talking about whether or not they're going to bring up a player. The question was, if they bring up a player, are they going to dress him? Because if they bring somebody up, go ahead and make that roster move now, and they don't dress him, they then owe that player a game check. to just not dress. Like, there's no reason to bring somebody up unless you intend to play them. I found that very interesting. But Scotty Miller is also still out, and Anthony Nelson. Those guys are just have hamstring injuries, so soft tissue issues that just continue to linger. But notably, Jamel Dean and MJ Stewart are both plan on being back. They're both listed as questionable. Jamel Dean was full participation all week. MJ Stewart was full participation by Friday, so anticipate those guys to go. But other than that, we got a pretty healthy squad walking into the game on Sunday.
Other than that, all right.
Well, other than that, we got the soft tissue injuries, which have been lingering. We got a broken thumb for a guy who waves his arms in the end zone. And then Alex Kappa. That's, not awesome, but is what it is.
So does James know what to do here?
Well, James, this is the spot where we come down to it. I mean, unless you have any thoughts on the injury report itself, we start talking about, that's the only thing that we predict on this show, is who is going to be inactive. And this is just our little fun shits and giggles thing. We get seven inactives. You got four already that are just handed to you. TJ Logan, Alex Kappa, Scotty Miller, and Anthony Nelson. Would you care to take a guess at who the other three might be?
Kazeem Daniels, Gerald Hawkins, and Jordan Luggett.
All right, Ren?
I like those.
Mm-hmm.
I like those. What about, who's the other guard?
Aaron Stinney.
Mm-hmm.
It's Watford. Watford's going to step up to fill in Kappa's spot.
I was thinking there was two guards that have not been activated. Okay, no, that's where I'm scrolling up and down the list.
Right.
Going, where's the other guard? Yeah, all right. Yeah, so I guess Stinney's got to play, huh? Or got to get called up.
Mm-hmm.
Lega's not going to get called up. So I guess it's between Noah Dawkins, the linebacker, and Daniels, the outside linebacker.
Or Mazzy Wilkins with both of these guys, with both Jamel Dean and MJ Stewart being back.
That's true. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sticking with Kazeem Daniels, or Cousins. You like to call him Cousins,
it's,
don't you?
It's, so I, just so you know, I looked it up on the roster card at the last home game. It's Cousin. So it's literally exactly as it's spelled. It's Cousin is how the pronunciation guide puts it.
Must be German.
Do you have any idea if he ever gets legitimate playing time, how often I'm going to use the William Shatner con gif whenever he gets a sack?
That'd be awesome. That would be... And it's one of those, like, I legitimately wonder if anybody has already done that. Like, did he just grow up with this as a joke, like, his whole life, and it's just like, oh, yeah, great, I've never heard that one before. Or, like, would that be new in Revelation? Because I never thought about that. That's great.
Yeah, I don't
want
know.
Him to go out there with a patch over his eye.
He did. Yeah. We actually had somebody write a song about that, about the pewter patch, the pewter pirate or whatever.
Yeah, he bedazzles his pirate patch up.
In fact, I may have to play that at the end of the show today. So,
ukulele Pete.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm with you guys. Aaron Stinney will play. Gerald Hawkins will sit. Jordan Leggett will also sit. And I still think it's Cousin Daniels. I really do. They activated Wilkins last week for a reason, although he didn't play.
He got two tackles.
Yeah, he got two tackles. So I anticipate him being a guy who goes with that. So with that, James, man, that's going to bring us to the end of the show, man. Thank you so much for jumping in here and just kind of filling out the conversation, hanging out with us, being a friend.
Oh, it was an absolute pleasure, guys. Yeah, I'm glad we could get it worked out. I know I work some crazy, crazy hours, and Brent, as you and I were talking, via text, and then before we started recording, how much crazier it gets with the hockey schedule with my son. So yeah, I was glad that we were able to get this carved out and to join you guys, because it's been a while.
Well, thanks, man. Real quick, James, give us all the details of where people can find you, Locked On, Bucks Nation, all that stuff.
Yeah, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, on Locked On Bucks, and everything over at BucksNation.com. And you can follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at JRCO_Bucks, and at Bucks_Nation. However, David's the one that runs Locked On Bucks. Mm-hmm. So if you're tweeting to that one, I appreciate it, but you're interacting with David.
All right, Ren, I'll throw it over to you, buddy. You know what to do.
Are we giving like our keys to the game or a little wrap up?
Sure. Yeah. If you got other thoughts you want to,
I always do this at the end. I know, like, the old prediction, quote unquote, we officially do. But I like to do a keys to the game thing. So I'll go ahead and then, then you go ahead and jump in, James, and then Brent will take us out of here. But best place to find me is on Twitter at Rendax, REN_DAXT. I'm always down to talk Buccaneers football. But if you don't feel like like putting yourself on blast, you can always slide in my DMs and we can talk Buccaneers football as – wait, dang, I messed it up. There as well, too. Keys to the game. Again, you know, I predicted a easy win against Atlanta. I predicted a blowout against Jacksonville, and I'm doing the same thing. You know, if you've listened to the Locked On Bucs podcast this week, they've talked about how much it has been – this is such stacked up for the Buccaneers. You know, Marlon Mack is going to be back, yes, but Jacoby Brissett, the Colts quarterback, he's not a guy – he's not Jameis Winston. He can't win you a game by himself. He can't keep you in a game by himself. Mm-hmm. And all his weapons are hurt. And apparently Jack Doyle, who I like a lot as a tight end, apparently he has mutant tiny baby hands. Is that
this
true,
This is
James?
True. This okay. is accurate.
This is accurate.
Imagine, for those that have seen Deadpool, when his hand is regrowing.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are Jack Doyle's full-sized hands.
Or Baby Yoda hands.
Oh, Baby Yoda.
Hey, how great was Mandalorian today going back to Tatooine?
Oh, I was stoked.
That's awesome. Hey. Let's wrap up the show, though.
No, seriously. Like, they talked about Beggar's Canyon.
Hey, I haven't seen it yet. Stop it.
They talked about the Dune Sea. I'm not giving it away plot points. Bah! It felt very homey. It was like a big bowl of chicken soup.
So this is
Doyle
not a trap
has
game.
Tiny hands. I'm sorry.
You don't think this is a potentially a trap game for the Buccaneers?
No, I don't. I the Bucs haven't won enough to have trap game. Mm-hmm. It's not a trap game. We just lose. Like okay. A trap game is games that you're supposed to win for sure.
Uh-huh.
And you lose.
Okay.
Bucs don't have that.
He does.
Like,
have
if we
hands,
lose,
doesn't...
we just lose. Like, yeah. We'll find it. We're not going to lose because the Colts are going to beat us. We're going to lose because, you know, James is going to throw 9 picks and the defense is going to revert back. But it's not going to happen.
Right.
Don't be scared. This is going to be a 10-point plus win. So 11 or more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think they're going to be controlled the whole way. It does scare me. The first possession the Bucs get and the first possession the Colts get, whoever gets it first, sort of like everyone's first. Like, I really think all Bucs games are sort of set. The tone of the game is set in the first time each team gets the ball. I don't know why, but it just kind of feels like whatever happens with our offense and their offense, if we dominate, then we win. If we have a turnover, we lose. If we both do well, it turns into a Seattle game. It turns into a Rams game, even though we're up 21-0. So Seattle game, I said. So, but the Bucs are going to take it. It's going to be it's a third game of taking the last 6 in a row. And the Jameis Winston with his extended contract, because we are entering into the golden age of Buckball. James,
he's bringing that out. James, any thoughts about this game as we head into it that you want to throw out there maybe we didn't get to talk about?
No. For those that didn't hear the crossover episode that I did with the guy from Locked On Colts or David and my prediction show on Friday, mm-hmm. I picked the Bucs to win 30-16.
There you go.
I do think it's going to be the Buccaneers just match up too well against this team, especially with as hurt as they are. They don't have the horses in the secondary to be able to slow down the Buccaneers offense. The only team on Sunday between these two that can beat the Bucs is the Bucs, which is why they will probably find a new and creative way to blow this game. And I can't wait to see. I get that
James,
feeling that I had for the
show,
Giants
you
game.
Leave us with that?
We won the Giants game, James.
No, we didn't.
No, we did. Matt Gay lost it, but the Bucs won it.
It's just, I don't know. Maybe it's the way that we've been trained over the past few years that, you know, when things look this good, something's got to go wrong.
You know, I feel you on that, man. I really do. I really, really do.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Maybe that's why the Lightning sucks so bad is they've taken the suck out of the Bucs and they've adopted it themselves. And
there you go. Look, here's the deal. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I don't know what's going to happen this game. Here's what I want. I want to win. This is a home game. I don't know that I've had a home. Have I had a home win this year yet?
Arizona.
Was that a home game?
Yeah, Arizona. Okay.
Cool.
When you took me.
Oh, there you go. Oh, yeah, that's right. So one home win this year. I need another one. You know what I mean? Like, give me something. Make me keep going to Tampa. You know, I just it. People have said it. We need to get the win in front of the hometown crowd. We got, you know, people deserve it. The fans deserve it. And I feel like, damn it, I deserve it. So I'm riding on that. All right, let's close out the show. You guys want to find me at Brent Allen Live across all the social medias. The show is at The Pewtercast on Twitter and on Facebook. Email us to thepewtercast@gmail.com. Join us Sunday night, 10 o'clock. We will be back with the Instant Cast, taking your phone calls live at youtube.com/thepewtercast. Locked On Bucks over there. You guys, James, you and David do such a great job over there. And, man, I'm glad to be able to call you guys friends and get to do this. So, you guys make sure you listen to everything they're doing over there. But until then, guys, hey, listen, stay tuned to us on Twitter. But nothing left to do it but to do it and play this game. And until next time, guys, go Bucks.
He walks into the exact same cantina on Tatooine.
Bah!